Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Brant Van Gobel, and he's the author of the short novel called The Cure. If you want a copy, it's only $1.58 on Amazon Kindle in the description below. The book is in three parts called The Illness, The Cure, and The Follow-Up. The illness is defined in one page as bonding and affection dependency disorder, or BAD. I believe that Brant was just making up a disorder for guys that fall in love with love itself and are dependent on it. And that's a form of illness. I think he made this term up because I can't find any record of it existing anywhere on the internet. But knowing the medical establishment, it's probably going to be a real thing in 5 to 10 years. So The Cure, which is pretty much 95% of the novel, the middle part, starts off with Dr. Bimala talking to her assistant Tristan. He's living out of his car and on his third divorce, and he tells her all about it. Bimala is talking to Tristan and pretending to care and listen. He mentions how he was charged with 19 crimes by his ex-wife, and he can't even see his own children. Now he's telling her about how he's going to get married a fourth time in his 40s to some immigrant bride that he's been sending money to her family overseas. Bonding and affection disorder, or love, is a disease that men get that women take advantage of. Dr. Bimala wonders what's wrong with Tristan. But I think that's wrong because a woman would not wonder, she would know exactly what was going on. She also wouldn't tell him the truth to protect her sister in the female collective. Brant, you're assuming that women are just as clueless about relationships as men are. Plus, you made it that she's more competent in the STEM field and is actually an authority figure. It's a very gynocentric situation. Then we learn about Tristan's probable future wife number 4, and her name is unpronounceable, and she's half German and half Irish. Let's call her Amor. She gets drunk and has feelings of disgust towards Tristan, and believes that he's ugly and pathetic, constantly craving female validation. She's also a single mother, and when he gets home for the first time in the story, she's drunk and yells at him while her daughter is gone for a week, to see her statistically more likely than not biological father. For Amor, Tristan is the best she can do, but she still tells herself that she could have done even better. But none of us believe that because of her abusive alky ways and her status in the single mother slut club. Her student visa was coming to an end because she lost her job at a university, and Tristan is her backup plan for citizenship, but I don't believe he knows that yet. I'll discuss more in just a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Hex. No, not the Hex girls from Scooby-Doo, but Hex the cryptocurrency. It was up 40 times higher in October of 2021 when compared to October 2020. Buying and holding Bitcoin should be the backbone of any cryptocurrency portfolio. But if you're going to speculate on altcoins like Dogecoin, then consider Hex too. The longer you stake, the more you make. This is not financial advice, so please do your own research before buying any crypto assets. You can purchase it from a crypto exchange. The instruction link is down below. Anyways, now back to the story of a 40-year-old simp marrying a single mother so she can get citizenship clown world show. Tristan is being taken for a ride, and I'm sure that'll come into play later. Amor is 75 pounds overweight and a junior land whale eating too many junior mints. But Tristan buys into the phrase happy wife, happy life, and is constantly walking on eggshells around her. Amor wears overstretched spandex where you can almost see her cottage cheese thighs underneath, and she's no prize pony because she's 75 pounds overweight. Then we cut to Dr. Bimala and learn that she comes from a very rich family and she grew up with many servants. This is not uncommon for many Indian people that I've met in Canada, especially the ones that used to live in Africa. But Bimala can't cook because she never had to learn on account of the servants. Today she subsists mostly on TV dinners. She's so lazy that she throws her dirty clothes into the freezer, which apparently gets rid of the bad odors, the same way that washing them would do. She then goes to a place called Bob's Affordable Real Foods and bail bonds equality and runs into Tristan. She says hello, but he says it's not actually him, but that Tristan is actually his father. His name is Mort, and that people get the two of them confused all the time. Probably like Marty and his son Marty Jr. from Back to the Future Part 2. He asks her why she shops at this dump, and she brings up the low, stereotypical cheap Indian prison prices. Mort is also a drug dealer, and he's there for the bail bond service. Bimala feels sorry for him and decides to buy him a coffee at the local coffee place called the Sock Hop Diner. She talks to him about addiction and asks him if everyone in his family is also an addict. He asks, addicted to what? She asks, does anyone in your family engage in behaviors where they take severe risks for a compulsive reward? Mort sees her point. Then we switch back to the pharmaceutical company that Dr. Bimala and Tristan work at. Bimala receives an email from an overseas colleague stating that they believe that America is ready for a new behavioral modification drug. We also learn that she's a gun enthusiast. Then she begins the process of looking for candidates for a drug trial for something known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. She wants to focus on a few hormone receptors and their role in the central circuit of romantic love. I think we can all see where this is going. The drug will be used to cure Tristan of the love drug that his own mind produces, and help him stop from being a simp. Brandt writes a bunch of technical and scientific mumbo-jumbo to explain how it works, but I'm sure that for most of us, it'll just be lost when reading that. Then we cut back to Tristan. We learn that he loves dogs, and now him and Amor have a few dogs, and the dogs have figured out that he's not very high in the dominance hierarchy, and because of that, they don't respect him. Again, we cut back to the laboratory. Brandt, I would have appreciated if you broke the 55 pages you wrote into chapters of 10 pages each. That would have made it a lot easier to keep track of everything. I also appreciate the descriptiveness of your writing, but sometimes it's just better to get to the point a lot quicker. I keep thinking to myself, get to the wonder drug that breaks the love goggle spell a lot quicker, so Tristan can get rid of his lard-ass land whale and his son can stop doing drugs. After we see their lives turn around, then we can see a new better world for them. Think of it like any great story. You start with a protagonist that has a mundane existence, and then something or someone is introduced that changes the mundane routine of that character, usually in the first quarter or third of the story, and then they go on a hero's journey. The best example, of course, is Star Wars, A New Hope. Tristan should have gotten the wonder drug in the first 5 to 10 pages, and then you could have spent the next 40 to 50 pages showing just how far he gets in life. Instead, at this point, I'm almost halfway in, and the drug still hasn't affected him. Anyways, we cut back to Amor throwing a whiskey glass in Tristan's face, and it shatters, cutting his face. Their dog named Mega starts barking at him and she's mocking him. Within a page, we are back to Bimala again. I can't help but think that maybe Brandt is getting bored of his own story and jumping back and forth, or maybe he enjoys disorienting the reader by moving the story back and forth like scenes in a movie. Brandt, I see you've actually written other books, and I don't want to complain. But don't you see how it might be difficult for readers to keep track of? Plus, you bring certain things up from the story which don't actually appear to have an immediate payoff. Like Bimala and her guns, and Tristan and her dogs. So Bimala now starts working on her drug again, even though she formulated it with Tristan in mind. Then again, we cut back to Morn in the storyline, but we don't learn much else. Then a page later, we're back to Tristan meeting with Bimala, and he shows her a cut on his face. Looks like she finally gave him the drug, and she notices that he's talking about things instead of people. Nothing about his family and personal life anymore. She's also gone from animals to herself and her assistant with the trials for the drug. I don't know what drug company does this, but she would get fired almost immediately if this is real. The company investing in the new drug doesn't understand the disease she's trying to treat with her drugs. They tell her you can't have a drug first and then find an ailment for it later. Actually, that's how Viagra was invented. It was originally for heart disease, and the trials revealed a side effect of never-ending stiffies. So Brandt, what does happen? The story continues with Bimala and her colleagues discussing the drug. Again, I find myself eagerly awaiting the transformation of Tristan, and none of this stuff pushes the story forward. When you write a story or make a film, the idea behind editing is to edit out the things that don't progress the story. Then we continue the drug trial and her anti-simp drug gets approved, but the idea is thrown around to sell the drug as a supplement called Intellistrong, non-herbal character supplement. They also make an infomercial to sell it, and then we go to Tristan's future wife, freaking out, because she can manipulate him into paying for her kid's college fund, future alimony payments, and getting those papers. And Intellistrong is also a bestseller, and they can't keep up with the demand. It's basically MGTOW in a bottle, and the pills should have actually come as literal red pills. Bimala then talks to a guy named Cerebus, and he explains to her all the industries that her pill is going to kill. Everything from romance to divorce. Apparently the drug is also too good because in only a month it cures men from falling in love with women forever. And he tells her that she's too good at her job. There's a danger in creating a pill that kills love because it might also eliminate the love men feel for their children or the love that women feel for their children. And that could be the end of the human race if we're not careful. At this point in the story, Amor and a bunch of women meet at a church basement pissed off that 40,000 men have taken the pills in their community. And they're free from love. She asks the florist Mary about how her business is doing, and Mary says they repossessed her greenhouse. Another woman that runs a jewelry store says that she's dead in the water. Even a funeral home director shows up in the meeting and says that business is bad because there are less male suicides. A cam whore, a marriage counselor, and a whole bunch of single mothers are also there freaking out too. At the meeting, they figure out it's the IntelliStrong supplement that's doing it, and swear to hunt down Bimala and her accomplishments. That's all very plausible. That takes us to page 51 out of 58 pages. And if you want to know how it ends, well, you gotta get your own copy. The link to it is in the description. My honest opinion is that your story concept is great. We certainly need a psychological, or in this case, pharmacological solution to the simp problem. A pill that would cure love would sell like hotcakes. Not only that, but it would destroy the majority of the wasteful spending in our society and would help the environment, which is what many thoughts claim to be in favor of. I don't think they'd be in favor of it if it destroyed their livelihoods, however. This would also make a great episode of The Twilight Zone to show how society would be destabilized if men were free from women in love. I don't want to piss you off, Brant, and hope you take constructive criticism well. But again, it's hard for readers to follow your story, especially when you keep flip-flopping from one part of the story to the next every page or two in that small section in the middle of your book. It's mentally exhausting, and when you write something, make sure you're writing something for yourself and not necessarily your audience. If you enjoy your own work, then odds are other people will as well. I would have gotten to the good stuff a lot sooner and built on it by projecting a hypothetical human future where men are no longer slit and tit-thirsty savages anymore. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Brant Van Gobel for the donation and book review topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that armies of angry women will smash down your door with shotguns if you shut down their ability to exploit men through our love drug. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45. And it won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the pharmacy in your own brain turning you into a slave away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.